Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome to the Flame Entertainment and Sports. It's your boy Rob here. Welcome to Driving with the Fish. I'm going to be giving some random thoughts or overall thoughts on the current state of the Miami Marlins. I know a couple months ago, for those of you who listen, I did a couple episodes covering the Dolphins and I called them Driving with the Fins. So this time I decided, I have some, random thoughts about the Marlins. So why not drive around and drive with the fish. So here we go. But before I get into the Marlins, as always, I want to talk to you guys about SeatGeek, one of the best ticketing apps out there. Of course, we are part of Team SeatGeek. And as I always say, a couple things I love about SeatGeek, each deal is rated on a scale from 1 to 10. So they really do their part in helping you find the best deal possible. And another thing I always like to mention about SeatGeek is that you know exactly which seat you'll be seated in, rather than just the section or row. That's kind of how it is on the majority of these ticketing platforms, but thankfully with SeatGeek, you can see exactly which seat you'll be in, and I know that goes a long way, especially for the people who prefer to sit on the aisle, the end of a row, so you don't have to make people get up during a game, concert, comedy show, whatever it may be. So if you're in the market right now for any type of ticket for a game, concert, comedy show, play, make sure to download the SeatGeek app or go to SeatGeek.com and use our discount code ROBCAO, R-O-B-C-A-O, and you'll get $20 off your first ticket purchase. Once again, make sure to download the SeatGeek app or go to SeatGeek.com and use the discount code ROBCAO, that's R-O-B-C-A-O, and you'll get $20 off your first ticket purchase. Alright guys, so now to give some random thoughts on the Miami Marlins. Of course, for those of you who haven't listened, make sure to go check it out when you have a chance. But last week I did an episode on the big trade the Marlins made as they traded their best player, Luis Arraez, second baseman and arguably the best hitter in the league, to the San Diego Padres. I did a whole episode on that, giving my thoughts, on everything there, on the Marlins, on Arraez, on the Padres. So if you guys haven't checked that out, make sure to go check it out. With that said, a couple of things I want to mention about the Marlins. So it's pretty cool, lately I've been watching and listening to Locked On Marlins, which of course, the Locked On Sports Network is a pretty big podcast network that they have a podcast dedicated literally to each team and all the major sports here in the U.S. This Locked On Marlins show particularly is hosted by Peter Pratt, who's a huge Marlins fan. He's big on Twitter. If you're interested, hearing some good Marlins content or any baseball talk, and even, he has some jokes from time to time, make sure to go check him out on Twitter or X. You can follow him at @MiamiMarlins_UK. So it's pretty cool. He's in the UK and became a Marlins baseball fan in 2016. And he became a baseball fan because he fell in love with that Marlins team that had, Jose Fernandez, Christian Yelich, Giancarlo Stanton, and a couple other guys there. Peter Pratt, he does a great job with Locked On Marlins. He really knows his stuff. You can tell he's super passionate, and not just passionate about the Marlins, but he just knows his stuff. He has a lot of info. He has a lot of great opinions or ideas about different topics. And lately, of course, he's been covering, of course, he covered Arraez, and then, lately he's been talking about the other guys now, that could possibly be traded soon. He's also been talking about the whole, the starting pitching dynamic's been really tricky for the Marlins this year. Of course, Sandy Alcantara, our ace, he, of course, won't play this year because of Tommy John. And Uri Perez, who was the rookie last year, he unfortunately suffered Tommy John. He didn't even play this year either. Then Jesus Luzardo, who was our number one this year, he was hurt for a while. He's finally, off the IL now. Then Braxton Garrett, who was super consistent for us last year, he's finally off the IL and about to make his first start of the year any day now. And now Edward Cabrera, who's a young pitcher we've had for the last, three or four years, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, he's one of those guys that he's always, shown flashes and stuff. But unfortunately, in terms of like on-field stuff, he sometimes tends to have a lack of control. He walks a lot of guys. It's funny, I feel like he walks more guys than actually gives up hits and runs. But And another thing that's, you know, affected him is the injury bug as well. And unfortunately, in his most recent start this past week, he, you know, it was this week. It came out that he has a new injury now, and it's in the shoulder of his throwing arm, of his right arm. So obviously, that's not a good sign. But basically, Peters brought up some great points about, you know, these different pitchers and you know, guys I mentioned now. And one of them that I really wanted to talk about here, I hadn't really heard anywhere else, or, you know, I hadn't really heard another Marlins fan really talk about this, is he was saying, when Edward Cabrera is healthy, should the Marlins consider moving him out of the starting rotation and put him in the bullpen? And the reason, you know, he has some great reasonings for that, you know, idea. And basically, it has to do with, like, the lack of control. So basically, you know, let's say you put him in the bullpen, you know, maybe he only has to pitch one inning, two innings, whenever, you know, he comes out of the pen, and he does a hell of a job, you know, because honestly, like, he has these flashes where he looks great, but it's just unfortunate that at some point, you just know, whenever he's pitching, that he's going to have one of those innings where he just walks a bunch of guys and stuff. So perhaps a move to the bullpen could help him in that aspect. And then the other aspect is that he's gotten hurt literally every year of his career. So maybe pitching less can help him somehow. So I wanted to bring that up here because, like I said, Peter's the first Marlins fan I heard, like, say that idea about converting Cabrera to the bullpen. And I think, too, like, in the long term, let's say we want to move him, I think the best possible solution would be to perhaps make him a reliever, and perhaps his value will grow like that, and teams will be more intrigued by him. And yeah, I think he'll be smart, like, all around. So yeah, I just wanted to, you know, to make sure to bring that up here, because like I said, I thought it was a hell of an idea by Peter, so I wanted to make sure to cover it here. Some other things he mentioned, so with Braxton Garrett, like I said, Braxton Garrett last year was arguably, like, the most consistent starting pitcher the Marlins had all season. Of course, the playoff team we had. And, yeah, it's unfortunate, you know. He's just been hurt to start the season. But Peter brought up some interesting points that now it's kind of going to be one of those things with Garrett where it's like, was last year, you know, did Garrett reach his peak last year? Will he get better? Like, we truly don't know. And I think it's obviously something to look at, right? Especially in the situation the Marlins are in where they'll likely trade Garrett. Unfortunately, like, I would prefer to keep him because he's one of those young arms that I think is going to be a nice rotational piece for a long time. But, I mean, you know, at this point, it just kind of looks like everyone's on the table at the end of the day. So, yeah, I thought that was a good point by Peter, too, that we're going to have to wait and see, you know, if Garrett has truly reached his point, his peak, or if he hasn't even reached it, you know. So that's going to be something fun to monitor. With Lusardo, obviously, you know, like I said, he was our opening day starter, so he was the number one pitcher. That now he's been out for a while. It's funny, now he's reinstated, and obviously that's going to be great for his trade value, because I know he'll definitely get traded, and with him, I understand more. Like, don't get me wrong, I know he's a local guy, like, it'll be cool to have him, but in the situation we're in right now, like, him specifically, I would understand, because he's kind of has more of a proven track record. Not that he's been, like, a superstar or anything, but I think last year was a really big improvement for him. And I think some teams noticed, like, damn, you know, this guy's still, what, like, 25, 26, like, super young. He's improving every year. So, yeah, I think Lusardo now, you know, got to give him, you know, 2-3 more starts here coming off the injury. See what he does, and I think his trade value could really skyrocket. Not a move away from the pitching, and stay, you know, within the, like I said, everyone's on the table at the end of the day, but, you know, some guys that have really been in the news, like, immediately after the Arias trade, the big guy, or the big name that's been in the rumors is Jazz Chisholm Jr., who, of course, you know, our young center fielder. He's actually been hitting better now since Arias left. Of course, Arias, you know, was the first batter. Now Jazz is back in that first batter role, and he's been more productive. His batting average has gone up a lot. He's gotten more stolen bases. He's hit more home runs. So it's just interesting now, because obviously now his value was already high, but now with the way he's playing at the one hole, I feel like it's even higher than it's been in the last couple of years, in my opinion. Obviously, he's one of those guys you'd love to for them to build around, just like Arias is one of those guys. Like, just imagine those two centerpieces right there. But I still feel that Jazz will get traded. It's just that's how it is with the Marlins at the end of the day. But yeah, I know there's a lot of teams floating around. One specifically that people keep mentioning with Jazz is the Dodgers, which obviously you can't put anything past the Dodgers. They're always willing to do whatever it takes to improve their chances, right, of winning a World Series. And I think he'd be a tremendous fit there in LA, and he'd probably have to move back to second base. So that's like the part that's throwing me off, and I don't really see him ending up in a Dodger uniform. I think pretty much any team in the league would be interested, really, in a Jazz Chisholm Jr., in my opinion. A scenario I have in my head involves the Baltimore Orioles, but not for this year. Because Cedric Mullins, you know, their longtime center fielder, he's there in center field, and he does a terrific job. And obviously, you know, they have a lot of young prospects, you know, best farm system in the league, all that stuff. But for some reason, I just keep envisioning Jazz Chisholm playing center field next season for the Baltimore Orioles. So perhaps, you know, he ends this year with the Marlins and then signs with the Orioles, or the Marlins trade him somewhere, the team doesn't sign him back, and he signs with the Orioles next offseason. I don't know. It's just something I wanted to throw out there, because it's just something that I've been envisioning in my head the last couple of days, actually. So, you know, just going to have to wait and see. Some good news for the Marlins. Jake Berger just came back. He was part of the recent series against the Dodgers. So it was great to see the Burger King back. He's my guy, my favorite player on the team. So happy for him. Glad he's healthy. And who knows, maybe he's the one guy the Marlins extend. I really hope so. Like I said, he's my favorite player. He's super young. He's under team control for the next 3 years, I believe. He's a great power bat. He can play third base. He can play first base. Always with a smile on his face. And, yeah, you know, hope maybe he's the one the Marlins decide to keep. Who knows? We just got to have to, you know, we're going to have to wait and see. Another guy who's been getting talked about a lot in the trade rumor mill, or whatever you want to call it, is Tanner Scott, you know, the closer of the Marlins. Obviously, the Marlins haven't even reached double-digit wins this year, so he hasn't had many opportunities to get saves, right? But what he did last season, specifically in the second half, was unbelievable. Specifically, from August to September, he had an ERA of 0. So yeah, Tanner Scott, I think, is going to be a hot name on the trade market. And it's funny, because the Marlins originally, a couple years ago, got him from Baltimore. And now the talk has been that there could be a possible reunion with Scott and Baltimore. I think that'd be really cool, because before, you know, when he was there, they were nowhere near playoff talk, right, or contention. And now they're, you know, arguably the best team in all of baseball. So I think that'd be really cool if he's able to go back there and, you know, it's a completely different franchise now, you know. So that'd be pretty cool. And I think that'd be a hell of an addition to the Orioles bullpen. Along with Craig Kimbrough and, you know, the two Cubans over there, Sionet Perez, Cano, you know, the veteran relievers that have there. I think Tanner Scott would be a hell of an addition over there. So, you know, that's an interesting name. I think he's going to be one of those guys that the majority of, you know, contenders or, you know, teams competing for a playoff spot, I think they'll definitely be interested in Tanner Scott. I don't see why not, you know. And another guy who I think could arguably be, of all these guys in the Marlins this year, could arguably be the sleeper trade target for one of these contending teams is Josh Bell, man. I think Josh Bell, he's not getting talked enough about in the trade market. I mean, even last year, you look at, like, when the Marlins picked him up, the spark that he provided, along with Jake Berger, is just incredible. You know, Josh Bell, he's been a tremendous power hitter throughout his long career in the MLB. He's a good first baseman, but the majority of his thing is hitting, right? The majority, or what he best brings to the table is his hitting and his leadership. Just like Berger as well, he always has a smile on his face. And I think Josh Bell will end up being the sleeper out of all these Marlins trade targets for whichever contender decides to go after him. So I'm very interested to see where Josh Bell lands. But yeah, guys, I think this is gonna wrap up this episode of Driving with the Fish. Who knows if I'll do another episode, add another part to this Driving with the Fish series. We're gonna have to wait and see on that. But as of right now, that pretty much wraps up my thoughts. I think the Marlins tonight, Friday, they start a home. They come back home. They have a three game series here against division rivals, the Philadelphia Phillies. And yeah, that should be fun, you know, Lone Depot Park. And yeah, guys, I'm just gonna wrap it up for this edition. I may do another one pretty soon where I talk about some of the minor league prospects that a lot of Marlins fans are excited to see be called up, hopefully here in the near future, with all these, you know, guys eventually, you know, getting moved on. At least that would be something to look forward to, right? To see the young guys and see what they could do at the major league level. Because at the end of the day, with these prospects, no matter like how great they do in the minors, all that stuff, at the end of the day, all that matters is how they do at the major league level. But yeah, guys, I'm going to wrap up this episode once again. Make sure to check out Locked On Marlins wherever you get your podcasts, or on YouTube. And shout out to Peter Pratt once again, Miami Marlins _UK. He does a hell of a job covering the Marlins. And yeah, just does a great job over there in the UK. But yeah, once again, before I wrap this up, I want to talk to you about SeatGeek. As I said, we're part of Team SeatGeek. It's one of the best ticketing apps out there. And of course, the things, you know, that I love most about it is that each deal is rated on a scale from 1 to 10. So they really do their part in helping you find the best deal possible. Then another thing I love about SeatGeek, as I always mention on here, is that you'll know exactly what seat number you'll be in, you know, which is different. You know, most ticketing apps or ticketing platforms, you only see the section in the row, but on SeatGeek, you get to see the seat as well. So that really, you know, works out great, especially for those who prefer to sit at the end of a row, right? So if you're in the market for any type of ticket for a game, concert, comedy show, hey, maybe a Marlins game this weekend against the Phillies, you know, it should be a fun one. Obviously, the Phillies have been one of the great teams in the league the last few years, and obviously, they have some great players to go watch. So, yeah, if you're in the market for that, make sure to download the SeatGeek app or go to SeatGeek.com and use discount code RobCal. That's RobCao, and you'll get $20 off your first ticket purchase. Once again, make sure to download the SeatGeek app or go to SeatGeek.com. Use our discount code RobCal, that's my name, RobCal, R-O-B-C-A-O, then you'll get $20 off your first ticket purchase. Thank you all again for tuning in. Make sure to check us out on Instagram at @theflame_ES and at RobCal, R-O-B-C-A-O. Let's go Marlins. Until next time, everyone, take care.